Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 200 of the CCFR Radio Podcast, sort of the current events portion, part two, I guess, maybe. I'm here in the studio with Tracy Wilson from the CCFR. Wilson!
There it is, in person, in the flesh.
You truly are.
Yes. I hope everyone goes and watches the big celebratory 200 episode.
The 10th version. Anniversary.
Yes,
version.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. People should go there if they want this incredibly exhaustive kind of inventory of what we've been, at least part of what we've been through in the last 10 years.
It's a lot.
It's a 2-hour episode, man.
I know. Yeah,
it's crazy. And in fact, since we're just on the topic, mm-hmm. there's so much we didn't put in it.
There is.
I skipped over a lot of stuff.
I know. I was thinking about that last night too, thinking, oh yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that we never even thought of. But yeah. If we included everything, it would be days long. We'd lose our audience. So it is what it is.
We probably could have done a 4-hour episode for that. If we, you know, told all the little cool stories.
I know. For the 20-year celebration, let's do that. A 4-hour episode.
A marathon. 4-hour marathon.
Yeah.
Almost a struggle session is what it would be like. Yeah.
We'll need a lot of coffee.
All right. So we have a little bit of news to talk about. And, you're here. So let's do this here in the studio.
Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly 2 decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com.
First thing we wanted to mention was the Alberta UCP had their annual general meeting.
Yes.
And of course, they have a motion on the floor on concerning the buyback and concerning self-defense. Let's talk briefly about what's going on with the buyback.
Okay. So as you know, previously, Alberta had implemented the Alberta Firearms Act. And that sort of put a roadblock for confiscators to go in and be able to confiscate firearms from Albertan gun owners, which is great. But at some point, that only helps as long as the amnesty is in place. That's a little bit of a problem because once the amnesty is up, of course, you would be subject to criminal charges. So what the motion says is it is directing police to not put any effort or priority on prosecuting law-abiding gun owners who just happen to own newly prohibited firearms and instead focus on actual crime and violence. I know it's crazy, but Danielle Smith would like the good people of Alberta to be protected from crime, not from legal gun owners.
That sounds like extremism to me.
I'm sure there's a few people saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as what the legislation looks like or how that's going to work, it's been really tricky to try to come up with legislation that interferes with things that are a federal jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we'll report on that a little bit more once we have some of the details. But what was really exciting too, and I mm-hmm. think we still don't know how that's going to be accomplished, but we'll see, is her statement on self-defense. And I guess to sum that up, if you don't want to get shot, don't break into people's homes.
Yeah, just another crazy statement out of the Premier of Alberta, you know.
More extremism.
Yeah, spitting out all this common sense that just should be a little more common. But yeah, the other part of the motion is a directive to law enforcement to not put resources into chasing or charging people who defend their lives and their homes. So, yeah. And she said it flat out that if you don't want to get shot, don't break into an Albertan's home. So, I don't know.
So there's a few interesting things about this. So I thought we'd kick it around for a second. First interesting thing. The premier of Alberta basically said, you know, if people need to shoot intruders in order to stay safe, then, you know, that should just be the way things are. And how things have changed, I think it was, if memory serves me, because I looked it up, it was March of 2014 when Stephen Harper just alluded to the fact that people in remote rural communities, firearms provided a sense of security when they were a long way from police assistance.
Yes.
And the mainstream media's heads blew off. I have a clip from that old lunatic that worked for CTV for all those years, Craig Oliver, I think.
Yes.
And I probably watched that clip because we had stuck it in a bunch of things. I probably watched it dozens of times. And every time I watch it, it triggers just fury. Where you have this kind of mainstream media elite living in downtown Ottawa.
Or gated communities.
And he's like, this is just absolutely appalling. You know, are we going to shoot our fellow citizens? Like, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was so ridiculous.
You know, we didn't have a Wild West. We don't have a constitutional right to bear arms in Canada. The Americans do. I think the Prime Minister got it kind of confused. And for a Prime Minister of Canada to suggest that we have firearms to protect ourselves from our fellow citizens was unbelievable. We have always, as a culture, accepted the fact that we have an ability to have firearms legally for hunting, for target practice, for collecting, but never so that we can shoot our fellow citizens who may knock on the door or want to come in unwelcome.
Now we've come 10 years later, almost, you know, very close to on the day, and Canadians have seen such violence and such decline that doesn't even strike the outrage that it used to. And
oh no,
let me throw this at you. As soon as that happened, I wanted to get a media advisory out there because I want to keep pushing this conversation into the mainstream. And you know how many interview requests we got? Well, we got one interview request, but it was about the buyback.
Yeah.
Mainstream media, not a word.
Yeah, they don't want to touch it. They don't want people to have this conversation. And you're right. The idea of average folks just living their lives, trying to do their best, raise their families, go to work, do the things they do. And you've got these thugs who are kicking in doors. I mean, we see the videos. They're on our social media. They're kicking in people's doors and going in and savaging them and their
killing
places.
Them. There's been
and
a fewer
killing
people
them.
Have been killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the idea that you should just allow that or leave your keys at the door or stupid things like this is just not being bought by the public anymore. Like, unfortunately, that's the result of being soft on crime all these years is average Canadians are just saying, no, I mean, I see it in my Facebook mommy groups where you've got, you know, suburban women who are usually busy at soccer practice who are now saying, hey, I want to get armed up. I want to take a course. Like, how do I get a gun? It's the conversation has shifted and the Liberals have nobody but themselves to blame for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty, it's just very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've, you know, we've had lots of conversation offline about it.
Yes.
But the idea that you should be able to protect yourself against assault or murder or whatever, even protect your property and not be obligated by the state to be a victim and take whatever's coming your way, that is not a controversial idea.
No, it is literally the most primary, basic element of human rights.
Yeah.
Like your right to survive.
Yeah.
It is. It's primary.
And the government and the media typically, though, is like, oh, this is the most controversial thing. But now they're just silent on the whole thing. It's just interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I wonder whose side they're on, whether they're silent, you know, because sometimes you're supporting people by being silent, or sometimes you're trying to undermine someone's agenda by being silent. I'm just kind of curious.
I think they're trying to avoid the conversation. They're not reporting on it because they don't want Canadians talking about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people like you and I get our news from a variety of sources, but you've got, you know, a segment of the population who just strictly watches CBC and that's where they, you know, that's the truth and the gospel. And so if they don't talk about it and they don't air it there, they don't know that this even happened. So,
yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then also in the last couple of weeks, Saskatchewan tabled their actual legislation against, well, we shouldn't say.
It was an amendment. It's an amendment.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're placing more qualifications on the federal government. They're not trying to block the buyback.
Well, they can't.
They're trying to place more obligation. And we've talked already about that. I made a video about that.
Right.
How they are going to obligate the federal or provincial government to provide compensation, not just for the, if you have your firearm seized, it's the diminishment of the value of your property.
Mm-hmm. And that includes handguns too.
That's right.
Which are not part of the buyback confiscation program. But, you know, upon your death, your family won't be able to keep them, right? So the idea is if the government is going to follow through with that, then they should be compensating you and your loved ones.
Yeah. So just to be to create a little bit more clarity around that, the idea of this, Saskatchewan is setting up a situation where the government has to actually assess the true cost of a program like this, and it's covering handguns. So mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm kind of reviewing this is we have a lot of people in, we definitely have people in our community that are like, full repeal.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're not getting any repeals. Mm-hmm. And this is just another roadblock. And it's also protecting people from being robbed of their handguns or any firearm whatsoever, any property whatsoever that is has diminished value by the federal government. So I'm welcoming legislation like this. Now, one of the other things that was in this, I think we should discuss this a little bit, is how do we describe it? The Saskatchewan government is going to offer storage, basically, for mm-hmm. people's newly prohibited firearms, should the federal government end the amnesty. So,
right.
So let's kick this around because there's a few moving parts here.
Yeah. So this is actually really important. And I know I read a few comments online when this came out, and it's like, wait a minute. So to prevent the federal government from, you know, stealing my firearms, the province is going to. And I'm like, no. This is the exact same situation as what's going to happen in Alberta. Is Saskatchewan's also put up those roadblocks to prevent confiscations. However, that's all well and good as long as you're protected by the amnesty. But if that amnesty expires or the government revokes it or whatever they do, you are now subject to some pretty serious criminal charges for being in possession of a prohibited firearm without the appropriate license, because you won't have a license for it and the amnesty no longer protects you. So what Saskatchewan is saying is, look, we've got a facility where we can use temporary safe storage to keep your firearms safe from the Liberals so they can't confiscate them. But they're also not in your home, so they're not in your possession. So they're kind of taking on that risk of being in possession of those firearms to protect you. And yes, it's temporary safe storage. We've said it a million times. As long as we still have these firearms in our possession, one way or the other, there's still an opportunity to roll this back down the road at some point. Once they're gone, they're gone. It's never getting rolled back. So
that's right. So I've spoken directly to the government of Saskatchewan, provincial government. And the point of all this is you will no longer, as you said, be in authorized possession of these firearms when the amnesty ends. Mm-hmm. And this is, you don't have to participate in this thing. The Saskatchewan government is going a long way out of their way to say, hey, you know what? If this becomes illegal and you don't want that kind of liability, we will not only store this, because the provinces can do this, they're not under the jurisdiction of the federal government.
That's
so
right.
they can hold on to these firearms, mm-hmm. and the province will give you a receipt for these firearms, mm-hmm. and they will hold them for you for as long as it basically takes.
Yeah, it's strictly storage. It's not confiscating them from you. They're not taking ownership and, you know, stealing them from you. It's literally just storage.
Yeah.
So that's actually incredibly important. If you're a person who wasn't planning to participate in the confiscation program at the federal level, but also don't want to go to prison. So prison is a bad place and you don't want to go.
Yeah. So anyway, just important that people understand province isn't doing anything to you.
No.
Because guys get angry right away, right? They don't take the time to really figure out what this means, and especially when people are trying to help you. Because everyone has had it with government and overreach. Like, I get that. But this is them trying to help you and make sure that you don't, if you're not going to get paid from the feds, let's say, this makes sure that you don't actually lose that gun if something is rolled back later. So, and right. it's optional.
It is optional. And the apprehension from firearms owners is kind of justified. After 10 years of assault from this government, everyone's a little shell-shocked. But the idea behind this is to protect you personally from going to prison. So it's actually important.
I wanted to kind of transition over to a quick conversation about, I don't know, how would I describe it? Sort of some emotion that's leaked into our community a lot. And a lot of people consider it blackpilled. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, you know what? We've lost. Don't even bother. It's all over. You guys have failed. We failed. The CPC's failed.
Yeah.
And it's extremely unproductive. And I think I just wanted to kick it around with you a little bit, because sometimes when you feel like you've lost it all, you have to stop and start looking around. And maybe even if you have to write down what is the status of all of the things that we're dealing with right now.
Well, and the thing is, like, I get that after 10 years of being punched in the face by this government as gun owners, it's hard because you're right. We haven't had a lot of wins. It feels like we've been continually losing. And I suppose that's true. However, here we are almost 6 years after the original gun bans back in May of 2020. I still got all my stuff. It's still all in my gun room. Yours is the same. They're really struggling to get this rolled out, which is great. We've said right from the beginning it would be logistically a nightmare, and it is. And in the end, I don't, you know, it would be an easier thing to just say, you know what, we lost, forget it. You know, throw this paper up in the air, storm off the set, and just say, I'm done. I'm going to just go do something else with my life. But we don't have that luxury. That it doesn't work that way for us. So giving in and giving up isn't an option. And as long as we continue to fight and make it difficult for them, I hate to say it, but so far it's working. They're not getting it done. So
something's going. So there's some indicators.
Yes.
So something's going on with the retail buyback, mm-hmm. the second or third phase or whatever. Everything's on hold with the retail buyback.
Yeah.
And there's some rumors that it could be that they have no place to send these firearms because some pressure was being put on the people that were doing the destruction.
The facilitators,
this destruction phase. And if mm-hmm. that's true, that is a victory. And at the end of the day, the buyback is failing.
Yeah.
It's not rolling out right now. They keep telling you, oh, it's coming in the coming weeks. Well, it's the first week of December now.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5.5 years later. Mm-hmm. And as you were mentioning, 138 municipal police forces in Canada, and they have deals with two of them.
Two. So here's the thing. This is, as we said, logistically, the idea of collecting, we don't even have that number. You know, it could be 500,000 guns, could be 1 million guns. It's a lot. It's far more than the Liberal government's numbers that they're putting out of 150,000. That's already been long established. The idea of traveling around a country the size of Canada, geographically, it's massive. Going to all these communities, all these, like, it's impossible. So they need the buy-in of municipal police forces so that they have little worker bees all across the country doing this dirty work for them. And they've been running around waving money. Gary and Andy Sangari has spent an enormous amount of time lobbying police chiefs from these municipal police forces to get on board. We saw how that worked out for Cape Breton. You know, he's now resigned in disgrace, and you know, that's a big mess there. But you're right. Out of 138 municipal police forces across the country, he's got to deal with two. And it's been like a year of him lobbying these people, and he's got mm-hmm. two. There's a vote next week on a third out in Charlottetown, PEI. You know, it's difficult. These small municipalities could really use the money. And when they've got the federal government with an unlimited basket of your money to wave in their face, to bribe them to do their dirty work so they can save face with the anti-gun lobby groups, it's difficult for these municipalities to oppose that. However,
But they are opposing it. So that should tell you something.
And the only one who's taken a deal and done any actual confiscations, it was a miserable failure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you have to look at the positive side of this. And as long as we continue to be a thorn in their side and get out there and raise awareness and try our best to oppose this stuff and put pressure on these councils, these city councilors, who, you know, that's who the municipal police force answers to not do this stuff, then the longer it'll be that they'll have to continue putting it off and hopefully abandon it. And if they do nothing else and just leave everything the way it is, that still leaves lots of room for a friendly future government to roll it back.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot more than that going on. I mean, even if you look at recently, the federal government, like we have a huge, like BC, I'm not going to say the whole province is taken over by cartels, but we had a huge cartel problem.
You
right?
do, yeah.
And then in addition to that, this huge extortion problem, mm-hmm. like people getting killed.
Yeah.
Extorted and killed. And the federal government's like, oh, that's definitely a problem. We're going to give you guys $4 million. And I think everyone who's seen that news is going like, what is going on? $4 million to stop extortion and murder rings and to try to address like literal global cartels from turning us into, you know, this narco yeah. state. But we're willing to spend $742 million trying to get this gun yeah. buyback from licensed gun owners, right? People have really woken up to that. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is failing. So there is hope. There thing. I mean, just before we started recording, you saw that Algoma Steel
yeah.
is laying 1,000 people off after months ago. These guys took $500 million from the feds.
Yeah, they're laying off 1,000 workers in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, at their big factory there. They just took $500 million loan yeah. from Carney's government. And yet they're still failing. So
the cracks are showing. Like yeah. this government is not doing well. It's failing. You never know. Elbows up people could wake up and Maybe. Be like, we've been had.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. At some point, I think they're going to have to. And I mean, either one of two things is going to happen. Either Carney is going to start capitulating on all this stuff, move further to the right, adopt more of Polyev's policies.
Out of desperation.
And maybe some things will actually be okay, you know, or it'll be a complete collapse of his government. We'll end up in another election. Because people will be,
with
you know,
a real advantage. Because who else are they yeah. going to put in
well,
to replace
exactly.
Carney?
If yeah, can't there win, isn't you know, anybody else.
They don't think he can win. Anyway, really interesting stuff. But it's all this to say, this whole conversation is, all is not lost.
No.
We can't just hand it to them.
No, we refuse.
You know, and we just got to keep the pressure on. And we have had a lot of small wins. And I think we forget about those. I certainly forget about them quick.
Yeah.
And kind of dwell on, you know, on the fact that we haven't, you know, gotten the results we wanted, but we're actually doing okay. We're still limping along here.
Yeah, we are. And I mean, I feel like we're always running around in a complete state of panic all the time. But at the same time, you know, that's kind of a result of running around doing everything, if, for lack of a better way of saying it, as some of it kind of works. So, yeah.
It does.
We'll just keep doing everything we can.
Well, and as we mentioned in the big 2-hour episode of episode 200, we do have a big campaign that we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get this out probably before the end of January.
Yeah.
And that could move the needle too. I'm really excited about it. Okay. Anyway, we're going to start winding this thing up. So the next stop on Gary and Nanda Sangari's loser tour is Charlottetown PEI. There's a city council vote this coming Tuesday. And we gotta do something there.
Yeah, I've been talking to a couple of different stakeholders in PEI who have some sort of affiliation or knowledge. You know, they know the councilors. And I guess it's a little bit of a split jury. You know, some of them want the money, so they want to do the buyback, and other ones don't want anything to do with it. Because the last thing they want is a great big rally in their province. So they're going to vote on this on Tuesday of next week. And depending how that goes, I mean, if they vote to jump into bed and help the Liberals confiscate guns from their people, then they can guarantee themselves a visit from the CCFR and everyone we can bring with us. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, we will rally against it if they vote. So I guess we'll see how that goes. We'll apply pressure to the mayor and the councillors in the meantime to do the right thing and tell the Libs no thanks, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of housekeeping items before we wind it up. The next podcast, we still have one more podcast before Christmas. That's our Christmas episode. I guess I have to decorate the podcast studio over there.
Yes.
But I still have the stuff here in the studio from last year. I could just throw it up. And but don't forget, if you are looking for CCFR merch before Christmas, you better order it the second you hear this. And that's not even a guarantee that it'll get there in time anyway.
Yeah. As you know, Canada Post is incredibly unreliable to get anything anywhere in this country. Shocking. But yeah, if there's stuff you want, that clearance section, it's been going like hotcakes. There are crazy deals in there.
Yeah.
So jump on there, get what you can. There's tons of good stuff. We'll do our best to get it to you before Christmas, but either way, the store will be closing December 21st, too late by then for sure to get anything for Christmas anyways, but we've got to do a year-end inventory. And this gives the staff an opportunity to get things counted, make sure all our numbers are good, watch for some new items coming out in the new year. And yeah, that's pretty much it for the store.
All right. And last but not least, we have the Canuck Wrangler contest.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are an existing member and you want to renew your, you have an expired membership you want to renew, or you want to buy a new membership, everyone that does one of those two things is entered into a draw for Canuck Wrangler. I haven't shot it yet, but I was thinking of actually shooting it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that inappropriate?
No, I think it's actually appropriate because then, you know, it's been fired by rod. It's good to go.
Yeah.
But I've seen.
So if it blows up, not that it would ever, it would be on me.
It would be totally blamed on you.
Yeah.
But also what I wanted to mention is I've seen a few people say, oh, you know, I just renewed 3 months ago or whatever. I wanted to get in on this. It doesn't matter if you renew now. It just tacks a year onto the end of your already existing membership. So, you know, I'd like to think and I hope that you want to stay a member longer than just what you've got left on your membership. So don't worry about it. Just renewing early just adds time onto the end. You don't lose anything. So
absolutely. Go for it. And I do have the Canuck Wrangler in my possession and they're really nice rifles.
I just got one for Colin and it's a dandy.
And they're heavy duty.
Like they're beautiful.
Yeah. Really, really nice. Okay. We covered everything.
All right.
That's it. I guess I will see you back in your studio in Ottawa for the Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming out to do all the other things that we needed to do and to enjoy this episode together.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks for the update. And I guess we'll see you next time.
We'll see you then.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.